You are listening to the Leukomania Pop Culture Podcast. Brought to you by CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you can purchase your favorite trade paperbacks and hardcovers for up to 45% off cover price.
How's it going, everybody? You're listening to Leukomania, episode 58. My name, of course, is Pat Leuka, and this week we have a very special guest, probably one of my favorite illustrators in the business today, in pretty much any business, because he is that damn good. He is Phil Noto. Phil started out as an animator for Disney, and of course he got into the comics thing, first with DC, doing covers for Birds of Prey, and eventually making his way to doing interior work with books like Beautiful Killer, and eventually his more current stuff like X-23 and Wolverine and Jubilee. Phil is a really nice guy, ridiculously talented. We talk about some process stuff. We talk about his career in general, and and of course his internet presence, which was really enhanced by starting a Tumblr blog, which just caught the eye of everybody. I mean, I've never seen anyone, I've never seen a blog get so many hits and so many notes in record time like Phil's. And we talk about that. And, of course, he also answers some listener questions. There's plenty of stuff to enjoy in this show. Phil has been a gracious guest and very, very cool to spend all the time that he did with us. So check out his stuff. There are links on the show notes that you can peruse, and you can check out more samples of his work and check out that blog that I just talked about. And finally, if you want to check out some of Phil's work, you could go to if you want to purchase some of his work, rather, you could go to our friends over at CheapGraphicNovels.com, where you could pick up a copy of Wolverine and Jubilee, written by Catherine Immonen and illustrated by Phil, for a good 45% off its cover price. And once again, that's CheapGraphicNovels.com. Finally, once again, it's my weekly plea to you, my listener. My listeners, rather. I'm pretty sure there's more than one of you. Go to iTunes and leave us a nice review if you can, because it would be greatly appreciated. It's good for the show. It improves our visibility. And you guys would do me a solid by doing that. So thank you. Of course, any social networking you need, as far as I'm concerned, can be found at about.me/PatLeuka. And you could follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/PatLeuka. Once again, thank you for listening. Thank you for making this show what it is right now, because it's been a whirlwind of a good time here. It's insane what we got going on. Next week, I'll be back with Mike McCone, illustrator of such titles as Avengers Academy, Teen Titans, Amazing Spider-Man, and so many more. He is going to be the new artist on Astonishing X-Men, and we talk about his career, we talk about his work, we talk some process stuff, and of course we look to the future as well. So until next week, you guys take it easy, and enjoy your comics or whatever you're into. Take care. And we are back. This time I am joined by our very special guest. He is really one of my favorite illustrators, not just in comics, but just in general. He is Mr. Phil Noto. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hey, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on for some time, because I, especially over the last few months, you've really kind of increased your visibility, at least online, your presence, and I think your Tumblr blog may be a very, very big factor in that. Before we get into that stuff, though, I think it'd be fair to kind of start from the beginning. What kind of got you into comics, or just into illustration to begin with?
Actually, I wasn't really into comics too much growing up. I used to collect them when I was real young. I used to get like the Micronauts books and Devil Dinosaur and some of the Avengers stuff. But after Star Wars came out, I was really just, all about science fiction. And, I'd pick up comics here and there over the years, like Dark Knight and, some other things in high school, but I was never really got back into them until the early 90s when I was working at Disney Animation. There were a bunch of comic fans there, and you know, one day went to the comic shop with them and saw Simon Bisley's Judgment on Gotham and was just blown away by, you know, the paintings and illustrations and that, and thought, wow, I really, you know, if comics are looking like this, I really need to get back into them. And yeah, slowly just started, you know, getting back into the stuff that was kind of like the big heyday in the early 90s, and was like a voracious Gen 13 fan and loved all the Campbell stuff. And yeah, it just kind of grew on me from there on, up until the point where I started doing them professionally.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know you were, you got into it fairly late. And of course it's not surprising to me also that you kind of gravitated towards Campbell's work, because Campbell had a very animated, I mean, you mentioned you work for Disney. You can kind of see the influence, the Disney influence on his work as well. So you kind of gravitated toward that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely. It was, you know, just something a lot different than I had seen from, you know, growing up and, you know, the kind of Neil Adams, Kirby stuff, you know, that I was used to seeing in comics, and, you know, it's just much more, you know, stylized, and I, just the way he drew the women and stuff, it really grabbed my eye.
Yeah, I mean, he had a more, it was a bit more, cartoony and a bit more exaggerated on features, especially with facial expressions. And I always thought he was kind of ahead of the curve even back then. And it's kind of nice that, you know, comics kind of, they kind of loosened up a bit since then. And, you know, it's more accepted for people to draw and really express their own styles. I mean, since then, of course, we've seen, you know, stuff like manga and other, and European comics kind of influence the American style. And you mentioned, though, you know, you worked for Disney. How long were you, you know, with Disney, and what type of work did you do with them?
I was a cleanup artist at Feature Animation in Florida for 10 years.
Oh, wow.
From 92 to 2002, right out of college. So, I worked on pretty much everything from Lion King up until Lilo and Stitch.
Oh,
then I actually had a credit on Brother Bear, but I did like maybe a month's work.
Mm-hmm. That's
probably you like six drawings. So,
you kind of worked for Disney during like they had a really good period there. Like, you know, we mentioned from Lion King to Lilo and Stitch, they had a pretty good period there. They had a lot of really good good features that came out.
I was there for like the crazy parties and celebrations for Lion King breaking records, and then, you know, it was funny going from, you know, the star-studded Lion King party, mm-hmm. when that came out, up until Lilo and Stitch, which, I mean, is actually one of my favorite movies. And we had the wrap party at Typhoon Lagoon on Disney property one night, and it was raining, and they didn't even have covers for the buffet tables of food. You were walking around in the rain eating soggy ravioli, and that's when I knew, like, I knew there was an end coming. So, I left to do comics soon after that.
And of course, you first came into comics like through DC. I believe you started with Birds of Prey, right?
Yeah. My first professional stuff was the Birds of Prey covers.
Yeah. And how was, the transition from working on animation to comics? Like, what do you think was the biggest difference between working in the two different mediums?
They actually couldn't. I mean, they're very different. You know, you might look at kind of the art styles and think, oh, well, that's, you know, kind of similar. Mm-hmm. But especially what I was doing, I was pretty much like an animation anchor.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, other than the practice of drawing every day, when I got into comics, I mean, especially doing the covers, because I had done a school for illustration. And, I mean, I just kind of based the covers on, you know, my inspiration of the old illustrators and stuff, and just kind of approached it in like if you were doing covers for a magazine or a book or something separate from any other kind of like comic setup. And once I actually got into interiors, that was like a really steep learning curve because, I mean, I just, you know, had only been reading comics for about 6 years or so and, you know, trying to create them and keep in mind all the storytelling rules and everything else. It was, it was a very big change from sitting at a desk all day just drawing the same drawing of, you know, Stitch running up the side of a spaceship. But it was a nice change because, you know, after 10 years at Disney, I was ready for, ready to do something else a little more creative.
Yeah, and I can imagine, of course, with comics, you're basically, you know, you get a script, but you're basically the director. You lay out all the shots and you do all that stuff. I mean, I imagine it's more fun than just going through, you know, just the typical, routine you go through with animation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in comics, I could really, like, spread my wings and, you know, just be as creative as I wanted, you know, within the confines of the script. But, Disney, it was more of just like seeing the films, you know, even today with my kids, I mean, it's great looking back and, you know, remembering, you know, working on a certain scene in Mulan or Lion King or, you know, any of the other ones. So it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't regret working there. I'm just, I found comics to be much more fulfilling in the long run.
Yeah, and then of course you mentioned there's no regrets. Of course, you learned a lot from your time there, and you were able to apply it to, you know, what the work you did later on. I find it funny that you bring up Lion King though, because apparently there's the 3D releases this week.
Oh yeah, I haven't watched that movie in forever. My kids are still 6 and 3. I don't think they would. It would the whole.
I don't think it'd be appropriate.
Right? And everything. I don't even want to. Yeah, start dealing with at this point. But I'll show them eventually. That was one that was kind of the first big movie I worked on. Mm-hmm. So would, you know, see it with all my friends, and when it came out on DVD, or actually, DVD wasn't even around then, I don't think, like VHS, you know, watch it with friends and family, and so I was completely burnt out on ever seeing that movie again. I haven't watched it in about 12 years at least, so, I don't know.
I can only imagine how it feels like for you then. Going back to comics, you eventually did move into interior work. I think your first interior work was with Codename Knockout for Vertigo, right? With Robert Rohde?
No, it was Beautiful Killer with Jimmy Palmiotti for Black Bolt. I did a few Codename Knockout covers.
Oh, yeah, there's a covers, yeah. I thought you did the interiors for that. But, yeah, Beautiful Killer, and that came out back in 2002, and I've seen your work even back then. I always thought it was – what I liked about it is that your work really stood out. It looked so different from everything else that was out there at that time, and it was a cool little concept, and I think it even got optioned for a film or something, right?
Yeah,
I remember.
Yeah. Yeah, there was Jessica Alba was attached at one point, mm-hmm. and that just kind of dissolved into the ether. But, hopefully one day, although, you know, Jimmy and I talk about it, there's so many movies, like, I mean, just the Columbiana thing that just came out. It's like so many movies have used that same kind of concept and plot that it's, you know, if by some miracle Beautiful Killer did make it to the screen now, people would just think it was, you know, a rip off of, you know, movies from the last 5 years. So
yeah, that would be unfortunate.
We'll see.
But you know, Jimmy's a very creative guy. He has a lot of different things coming up. So
Jimmy's not at a loss for ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, there's actually one where that we started a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. that we're going to finish up soon called Trigger Girl 6. That's about a future girl assassin agent, and we're gonna get that going and put that out through Image soon.
Cool. I look forward to that. So Beautiful Killer being your first sequential work, you mentioned earlier that it took you a while to adjust to being able to work that way. Was there any particular challenges as far as storytelling was concerned that really made that difficult?
Well, the biggest hurdle at first was that I was still working at Disney while I was doing Beautiful Killer, mm-hmm. So I would come home at 6 o'clock, hopefully there wasn't any overtime, and come back into my little studio and just start trying to create this comic book. And at the time, and I mean, I still am, mm-hmm. a huge Sienkiewicz fan, mm-hmm. but Electra Assassin, I just thought was like kind of the pinnacle of, art and comics. And so I loved the collage style that he used and the different styles from page to page. So that was just kind of my template. And I was just, kind of going through the book. I haven't looked at it in a while, but I think my mindset was more of doing spot illustrations for each page rather than like really kind of planning it out the way I would do now, 10 years later. But it really, went over well. People, were really happy with it. So that was a good thing. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, there's some people I know who talk about that book and talk about how they really dug your stuff even back then. So, it's still, for a lot of people, at least the art holds up really well. I mean, I haven't read it in quite a while, but you can still look at it. You can kind of see, where your current style, kind of emerges from that older book. So, it was a good start, at least.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny because I actually had the benefit of not knowing what I was doing back then. So I there's a lot more chances just in the style alone that I took back then that I probably wouldn't take now. There's a bunch of different styles and comics today, but depending on the stories you have and the characters you're drawing, there's certain styles that are suited for different titles and characters. And like now, I love working on the X-23 and like the Wolverine Jubilee stuff, and that's great, but I've definitely kind of created a cleaner, crisper style for bigger character type things, where it's like Infinite Horizon, mm-hmm. the book that Jerry and I, which is all done by the way, and will be out this fall. That's something that I could just, it's like the back to the Beautiful Killer days, where it's just mm-hmm. like just free to just do whatever, like go as crazy as I wanted, and that's very freeing. And I mean, that's one of the nice things about Marvel is that they do, use a lot of different, more stylized things on, like Alex Maleev's Moon Knight and, I'm trying to think, like David Aja.
Yeah, David Aja. And they have a lot of really, really cool artists doing different things. I mean, they got Kyle Baker doing Deadpool stuff. They got everybody.
It's really I love seeing kind of that non.
There's no house style.
Comic style. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no house style, which mm-hmm. I find really cool, and I love seeing that stuff, and like Jock stuff on Detective before the reboot was amazing. And yeah, I mean, I just, I'm working on trying to find like a happy medium between, the crisp stuff I'm doing and, trying to loosen up and get more of my illustration style in. But I think the stuff I've been posting on my blog has gone a long way, and just getting people used to that style and more of like the looser character stuff, and if I can transition to that a little more.
Yeah. The stuff you did, actually, you mentioned X-23 and Wolverine and Jubilee. I think I might be skipping a little forward on this, but I really love the simplicity of the line work here. I mean, and then every line is, you know, really well thought out. You color this as well. I love the palette that you brought to these books, and it just works so well. It's very clean. It's very, you know, as far as storytelling is concerned, it's definitely, you know, it's definitely an improvement over, you know, your older work. It's easy to follow. You could actually take the word balloons out and you can kind of see what's going on. And I really love, there's a sequence in X-23 number 14. I love where, where Laura is introduced to, you know, the kids in the Future Foundation. And there's that panel at the bottom, like the third panel where there's this look on Laura's face, and the next panel where Sue kind of joins her in there, that I just really like, because the difference in facial expressions between the two is just, it's so subtle, but you can easily see what's going on. And I just love looking at this stuff, and it's pretty inspiring to learn from.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, actually, a lot of I said before that there wasn't much carryover from Disney, but I think that's the one thing that really did kind of help from, you know, mm-hmm. the years in animation, mm-hmm. was just facial expressions, mm-hmm. you know, body, like hands, and, you know, just body poses and that kind of stuff. It's,
yeah.
With a crisp, you know, with like simple lines and stuff, I try to like get as much, you know, subtlety in the facial expressions and stuff to kind of convey all the acting rather than, you know, a lot of line work and, you know, panel, mm-hmm. you know, huge panel layouts and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. I thought it's really hard to put to words, but I'm just amazed at how you're just able to juggle all the characters and make them all unique, because particularly in this X-23 issue, because there are a lot of guest stars there, and you know, everyone has, you know, everyone looks different when you look. I mean, the style is the same, you know, it's your art style. It's clearly your art style.
Yeah.
But then, like, the subtle differences in facial expressions and the shapes of some faces is just, it's really cool to see. So I just gotta give you some props for that, because I think it's fantastic.
A big credit goes to the writers, like, you know, Catherine Immonen on Wolverine Jubilee and Marjorie Liu on X-23 now, because, I mean, both the scripts, you know, that I would get from them, there's just so much, they really set up the emotions and, you know, the dialogue beats just perfectly. So, I mean, before I even draw one line on the page, I know, like, you know, I have in my mind, you know, the subtle brow lift or smirk or frown or, you know, whatever is going on with that character. It's like, it's pretty much right there between the lines in the script page. So I've been really lucky.
Now, when it comes to we're talking about working on comic pages now, like when you get the script, like do you do a digital mock up first? Do you work actually digitally, or do you even?
I work, yeah, the comics I do them fully digital. It just saves tons of time. Because especially with doing, you know, penciling, inking, and coloring all mm-hmm. myself, I don't get, like, you know, 4 weeks per pass. So, you know, I usually have to knock out a whole issue in about 4 or 5 weeks. So, I have a Wacom Cintiq and a 27-inch iMac. And I just, when I get the script, I'll go through and, you know, read the whole thing mm-hmm. through, you know, probably just sitting on the couch and just kind of, start picturing things in my mind. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go through and just start trying to block out panels while I'm reading the script. You know, there's going to be a, you know, a big establishing shot. I'll, you know, leave a big panel for that, and just start just start breaking them down in terms of panels. Then I'll go through and start doing just rough, you know, really rough layouts, almost like, you know, stick figures. And, you know, just where I want the characters situated and, you know, the where the camera should be placed and compositionally. Mm-hmm. And then I'll go through and do a tighter drawing over the, you know, that version. And especially in terms of, like, really, like, you know, if there's an expression that I really need to get in, or, you know, something, like, if there's a lot of subtle acting, I'll make sure to, like, really, you know, tighten up that part of the drawing. And then from there, I pretty much just go straight to inking. I do a lot of the drawing in the inking stage now because I use this program, Manga Studio, and it's great because, you know, you can do all this inking, but if you ever make a mistake, you can just erase it. So there's so many things, you know, especially, you know, I've been lucky to work on, you know, multiple issues of these same characters. So it's like I know, you know, I know how to draw Laura's, you know, outfit or the, you know, FF costume. So it's like I don't really need to draw those in the penciling layout stage. I just save that for the inking and fill in all the details then.
Okay, and of course, by working on the same characters in multiple issues, you really do get to know them and how, and you kind of have a sense for the character and how they would stand or how they would position themselves in the panel. So it's all more advantageous to do it that way. The thing you mentioned, of course, like working, you know, with rough sketches and all that, and we see some of that stuff in your blog. It kind of makes you realize, like, I mean, I took some, you know, I took some art classes myself, and it really kind of brings to forefront the how important it is to really draw, you know, study life drawing and do, you know, doing, you know, practice sketches and gesture drawings and that sort of thing, because I can kind of see some of that in, you know, like in your rougher pieces, and you can tell that, that you've learned from doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's invaluable. I mean, that's another thing, you know, from Disney is just, you know, just drawing over and over, and we would do a lot of like life drawing and gesture drawing, but yeah, I mean, even in terms of comics, I mean, there's the Malcolm Gladwell theory that, like, you know, after 10,000 hours of, you know, doing something, you know, you start to master it. And I mean, I really feel like just within the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years that I reached or getting very close to the 10,000 hours where just in terms of drawing, just it's nice because I feel like I can concentrate on storytelling and how best to get across the story on the page rather than, well, I don't want to set up this page this way because these figures are going to be too hard to draw like that. I mean, that's, you know, the actual drawing part is just secondary now because I feel like, I mean, especially, you know, just stuff like having fun on the blog. I mean, it's great practice where once I'm sitting down to actually do, you know, pages of an actual book, mm-hmm. yeah, the drawing, you know, drawing the characters becomes pretty easy.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of your blog, there's a lot of stuff up there that, you know, I will link to it, of course, from here. Some of my favorite things that you've done are these they look like newspaper clippings from the 60s of, like, you know, various superheroes just hanging out or in parties or whatever. And it's really caught on, especially, you know, with Tumblr and on Twitter. What was the impetus behind you doing those particular pieces? Because those are those really caught a lot of attention, and they're fantastic.
Yeah, it's funny. I just wanted to do like an old school X-Men sketch one day. Mm-hmm. And it was, I think it was like late in the day. I was like, just, you know, before I head back into the house, you know, let me, you know, get something down. And I did a really quick sketch of Gene, and something about it just kind of reminded me of these candid photos. I have a book by Dominic Dunn called The Way We Lived Then, and it's just photos that he had taken in Los Angeles and Hollywood back in the 50s and 60s when he would be at all these parties with these, you know, celebrities and actors. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of like the Hollywood version of, you know, what I'm doing, you know, with the superheroes now, where it would just be like, you know, Paul Newman and, you know, Natalie Wood, like, you know, cooking hot dogs on the grill outside. And then, you know, Douglas Fairbanks is, you know, sitting on the couch and they're playing charades. And it was, it's just, you know, it's fascinating because it's just a lot of candid shots. And yeah, just looking at the Jean Grey sketch, I was like, oh wow. Like, you know, I wonder if I could make this into, you know, one of those old black and white candid photos, and, you know, would it read, would people get it? You know, it's because, you know, I'm certainly not going to spend the time trying to render it, you know, in an Alex Ross style so it looks like an actual photo. So, you know, that's the great thing about the blog. It's like I can just kind of, you know, take a chance and see if it works, you know, see if people respond to it. And, yeah, and it seemed to, you know, people got it. And based on that, I just started thinking of, you know, more ideas. And, I mean, I'm sure at some point, you know, somebody's, you know, had the same idea, or, you know, somebody's even done it. I mean, that's the crazy thing about the internet now. It's just, it's such a great platform for getting ideas out and kind of disseminating it, you know, through the interwebs. But yeah, I was lucky enough to just kind of get it online before anybody else did in that style. So, yeah, I've been having a lot of fun. I mean, it's crazy because they have like a giant list of, you know, little, photos and scenes and stuff in my head. And a few jotted down that, you know, hopefully I'll be able to get to all of them at some point.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I mean, you know what? I would buy an art book actually with all that stuff. If you decide to put it out. I mean,
it's frustrating because I mean, people love it, and I, you know, I have so many ideas to definitely fill up a book, but that's, I mean, it really is one of those kind of unique special project things that, you know, if I did like pitch it to Marvel, it's hard to get that stuff kind of through in term, you know, but we'll see. I mean, I have, you know, plans on doing more. And I mean, that's the great thing about the blog. It's like, you know, even if I wasn't, you know, ever going to get them published, I'd be more than happy to just, you know, do one or two a week.
Oh yeah. And I think, I mean, if they don't decide to, you know, I mean, if they not decide not to do, you know, a book for, I mean, I think it'd be cool as a supplemental, you know, as bonus features on a book or something like that, at least. I mean, these are such, you know, it's so great. And it's like the newest one you posted with Storm and Luke Cage was fantastic again. I think this is the first one you did in full color because the others were black and white. And I did
another 70s one in color with Gene and Scott and the Vision and hanging out at the beach in the 70s. Yeah, I mean, I would kind of, you know, in my mind, I have it kind of planned out where, you know, the early 60s, of course, they're all, you know, very, it's in that style and, you know, very stark black and white. Mm-hmm. And the later 60s, I try to get, you know, a little grittier, a little grainier. And the 70s, I'm, you know, I strive to kind of get that faded out 70s look. And
then you did some, you know, 80s, you did some 80s stuff though with Psylocke and Storm, which is also great. I think that was Ron Rich's request right there, the Psylocke.
Yeah. Yeah, that was really funny because, yeah, I mean, I never – because I've always been, you know, a Psylocke fan, but never – I mean, once again, like, you know, the fact that I really didn't follow comics. I mean, so so much of like the histories, both DC and Marvel, it's like I really don't know what happened when and why, you know, one character is the way they are now. And, you know, I knew Betsy was, you know, had switched bodies or taken over bodies with the ninja chick. And, but yeah, I mean, I knew Betsy Braddock used to be, you know, like British and whatnot. And yeah, like 2 a.m., you know, Remender was like, oh yeah, well, here's the page where, you know, she dyed her hair purple and, you know, it was on purpose. Because I always figured the purple hair was just coloring back in the 80s, where it's like, well, it'll be more interesting if it's purple rather than just coloring it brown and black. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I never realized that was actually like, you know, she was very punk and, you know, wanted to dye it purple. So, yeah, that was a fun little thing to do.
She has such a convoluted history. It's just ridiculous. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, for those of us who've been reading for a long time, it's old hat, you know, we just know it. But man, trying to explain it to other people, just seeing the expressions on people's faces when you're telling them all this, it's always funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm not surprised. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the cool thing is she does have a lot of fans. So I think they're really, I mean, the stuff that, you know, especially Rick's doing with her and, you know, X-Force.
Oh yeah.
Right now, it's just amazing, and you know, it's really solidifying her as a character. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she's really in good hands under Rick.
Yeah.
See, X-Force, that's a book I'd like to see you try. I think you'd be awesome in that book.
Oh yeah, I'd love that. That's one of the books that I never miss picking up.
Mm-hmm. But aside from comics, though, you kind of gained a presence as an illustrator. Like I believe you have a gallery showing coming up in Paris, right, over the next few weeks.
Yes. November 3rd at Galerie Petit Papier. I don't know offhand the address, but
that's okay. I'll link to it, of course.
But yes, I'm in the midst of finishing up paintings for that. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you what kind of, you know, beyond comics, what kind of got you out there as far as, you know, the gallery showings and all that stuff.
I mean, in college, like, I was pretty, you know, just studying to be an illustrator and, you know, kind of concentrated on oil painting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I was working at Disney before I ever, you know, started drawing any comic stuff, like, just for fun, I'd come home and just do, like, little paintings of whatever. I mean, I have a few on, like, my website, like, one with a James Bond and Goldfinger playing golf, and there was a Tyler Durden one that I did. And I mean, it's really just things, just little paintings I had done for fun, you know, just to break the monotony of just drawing all day. And a friend of mine, Steve Lewis, used to run a shop here in Orlando called Uberbot, which is a great little place with comics and vinyl toys and, you know, import DVDs. And one day I was in there and he was talking about, you know, trying to do like a, you know, do some kind of like art gallery or some kind of like painting show at some point. And I thought, well, you know, that would be fun. That's, you know, I could do a bunch of paintings, but then actually have a purpose for them rather than just having a stack of them in my studio. So, we set that up and I just went to the art store, bought a bunch of big canvases and, started knocking out paintings, and the show was quite a success. So I did two more at Uberbot that both went really well, and then started doing more like around Orlando, did one at Secret Headquarters in LA, mm-hmm. a couple of group shows, and yeah, it's just kind of taken off a bit. And you know, it's hard. I especially these days, keeping so busy with the comics, you know, trying to do that plus do a bunch of paintings for a show can be tricky. But, I've made it work so far.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I imagine scheduling. I mean, I'm surprised you're able to take the time to do this with all that stuff going on. So I appreciate this.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. No problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah. It's been nice, but yeah, it all seems to work out mm-hmm. somehow. Mm-hmm. Like, very rarely do I ever kind of like hit that wall where it's like, okay, one thing's not going to get done. Period. But no, I've been lucky enough, knock on wood, to kind of get it all scheduled right.
Mm-hmm. And you put out a couple of art books. I think there's the Jet 7 and there's the Trans Am Champions books. Are you looking into doing more art books and collecting your work?
Yeah, I should have a new book next year, definitely by San Diego, hopefully earlier in the spring. I hadn't really put out a newer one just because I hadn't had any large stocks of like new paintings where I could, fill up a 48 page book with anything. But I definitely, by the end of this year, I'll have a nice collection for a new book. But there'll be definitely another one next year.
Awesome. I look forward to that. Right now we'll go ahead and switch to some listener questions because I have quite a few.
Okay.
One of the first questions I got was, I think we kind of answered it already though. It's about your Tumblr blog and, basically he's asking, this is from, Paul Montgomery of iFanboy. He's basically asking, your thoughts on using Tumblr for your sketches and what are your thoughts on that and how it's affected your following, and how it's grown?
Oh, I mean, it's probably the best thing I've done since I posted, a Batman painting on eBay 12 years ago. I mean, seriously, like I had, become aware of it and checked out a few blogs from time to time. Like I try not to surf the internet too much because then, suddenly it's like, 2 hours later and I could have, sketched out, five pages. Mm-hmm. But I just started seeing more and more of this on, especially on, posted on Twitter and whatnot and thought, well, that could be fun because I have a website that, sadly I don't update nearly as much as I should, but it's just, just trying because I do it myself and just trying to format it and put up new pieces and figure out, where should I put the old pieces mm-hmm. now, which section. And, when I looked into doing the blog, I was like, well, that would be great to just do like a quick sketch, throw it up there and not worry about it. And, I still have friends that work at Disney. A good friend of mine, Paul Briggs, mm-hmm. is a big story guy over there in Burbank now. And last time I visited him at the studio, I just miss seeing all like quick little post-it note sketches and, little doodles people would hang on their cubicles and in the hallways. And, I figured just doing a blog would be a good way to get back to that and just start doing stuff for fun. And actually, the first piece I did, the John Hamm as Superman, there was like a piece that I had wanted to do, but I was like, well, I don't like, I always thought like it would be cool, but I always wondered, it's like, well, is it worth spending the time to do that to like, put on my iPad and show my wife the next day, like, hey. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, it was funny because when I actually did it, I brought it in and I think the Oscars were on and it's mm-hmm. like back in February mm-hmm. and I show her and she looks at it and she's like, okay. And I'm like, yeah, it's John Hamm. She's like, oh, I know. I'm like, okay. And I was like, should I put this on the blog? Like thinking, well, yeah, I mean, I was happy with it. But, it got such a great response. And it was funny the next day when I showed her, it'd been picked up by all these different blogs and everything. She was like, wow, that's great. What are you going to do next? And, suddenly it became a real thing. But it's back to the question. It's really, I mean, it's I couldn't be happier with the response I've gotten and just kind of the visibility from the blog. Like I was saying before, it's like I've been able to kind of like stretch my art style a bit and get people used to like seeing, you know, different styles, different characters. And, you know, it's been great because, you know, something like that, trying to do that when within the confines of a monthly book or just, you know, getting anything printed, trying to do a full spectrum of art is, you know, just about impossible. But, you know, I can spend an hour a day or, you know, late at night, just do a sketch and it reaches, you know, so many people. It's been great.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, whenever a new piece goes up, and usually within seconds I see it because I'm up fairly early in the day. On the, even though I'm in the West Coast, I'm up fairly early. I check on Tumblr and I see you posting stuff, and like it looks like you just posted it minutes ago. You already have like about hundreds of notes on each piece. I'm just like, wow. And
yeah, it's great. I mean,
with regards to the blog, also you posted a lot of pieces that show you drawing likenesses, and I've always thought that you have this amazing ability to do great likenesses and kind of bending the likeness to your style, like that John Hamm Superman that you mentioned, then just the Jamie Alexander X-23, and of course the Black Swan stuff you posted. That was pretty amazing. Again,
oh thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that. Next questions I have are from one of my co-hosts, actually, Chris Mays. He is he's also an illustrator and a graphic designer, and he has some of related questions. His first question is this. He mentions that your style is unique, and people know one of your pieces right when they see it. What was the inspiration that pushed you into that somewhat retro style?
When I was in college, I was a big fan of that stuff, the 50s and 60s paperback cover illustrators. And like I said, I mean, in college, I wasn't into comics at all. And so I would always look at that retro stuff as, you know, that's the stuff I like drawing. And, you know, when I started doing comics, that was just kind of my natural style. And at the time, I want to say, I think Dave Johnson was probably the only other guy kind of working in that, you know, retro type style.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's with the Birds of Breakovers and stuff, like that's just, I mean, that was just my personal style. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get into comics at a point where there weren't a lot of other people doing it. So, it became very recognizable as being mine just because, you know, it was either mine or Dave's at that point if it, you know, looked retro.
Okay, I don't really consider it retro. I always looked at it as just like, a, you know, your own individual style, but, you know, I can kind of see where the retro comes
from. Well, yeah, I know. I mean, neither do I, but it's like, it's funny because it's like, I don't know how much of that is just, you know, that's just what I've been tagged with, which is fine. I mean, if I want to be labeled a retro, if I'm going to be labeled a retro artist, that's, you know, I'm more than happy with that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's just, I think people just, a lot of, you know, even more contemporary type stuff that I might draw, just the way that I, you know, will draw the lines or something, people, it just reminds them of, you know, perhaps another retro piece that I've done. So they're like, oh, well, that's kind of retro looking. Where, I mean, there might not be anything retro about it, but that's just what they see, which is fine.
That's that's understandable.
I'm fine with that.
His next question is, you seem to have a great sense of design and layout. Do you have a background in graphic design?
No, just a fan. I mean, just kind of, you know, just by osmosis, like taking in so much design stuff, you know, especially, you know, with the advent of the internet, being able to look at design blogs. And I mean, I have a pretty big book collection of art books and design books. So, I mean, a lot of it comes from there too. But yeah, it's just, I just have a lot of fun doing that. I mean, I think and a lot of it just comes from, you know, the time that I'm able to spend doing stuff for fun, where, you know, it's like, I look at, you know, painters like, you know, Phil Hale in particular, that, you know, if I could do nothing but just paint and, you know, spend a week doing details on one amazing painting, it would be awesome, but I don't. So I can, you know, I kind of use design as a bit of a crutch when it comes to that, where it's like, well, if I can just do a simple character but have like a really cool design and layout to it, that, you know, I can do that in a sixth of the time that it would take me to do like a very finished oil painting. But yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of like the old minimalist design and book cover stuff too, which is, I mean, it's funny to see all that stuff very popular these days, like the Saul Bass stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. So,
and
it works for me.
Yeah, and to be honest, though, I mean, really simpler and cleaner is just much better to look at. You know, there's no distractions. You're
focused on. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not cheapening the simple look of things or, you know, designing type stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's just nice that there's an appreciation for it rather than having to. Because, you know, it's funny, like, I remember, you know, being in middle school and – you know, I would draw, I was, you know, been drawing since I was five, and I would just, you know, be drawing my, like, space people and Dungeons and Dragons monsters. And I remember there was a girl that was new to the school that all she could draw was, you know, Pegasus's horses and unicorns. And she would do all this patching on the horses. And it was so funny because I remember all the other students were just like, wow, she can draw so good. She's almost better than you. And, it was driving me crazy because it was like her horses were awful. Like they barely looked like horses, but she was just adding so much like extemporaneous detail to it. People were like, wow, that's an amazing horse. Look at all the lines on it. And it's like, ah. So it's like, I mean, that's, you know, I think subconsciously that's why I love like the simple stuff, because it's like, you know, if you have to do it simple, you really have to be on your game, or else it's just, it's really going to look like crap.
Oh, yeah, definitely. His next question is, what's your work progress on a piece from idea to completion? I guess maybe on like a pinup or a watercolor piece, maybe.
Oh, yeah, I usually just have like a couple of folders of, you know, just reference photos and stuff I find online, and little sketches I've done and photographs I've taken, and, you know, I'll just, you know, every once in a while I'll start going through, especially, you know, when I'm trying to get stuff together for a show, and just start looking at all this reference stuff and thinking, okay, you know, just trying to picture what I could do with it. Like, you know, I have like a giant set of old Saturday Evening Post with old ads from it and everything. And, you know, there's great, you know, just great lifestyle stuff from the 50s and 60s. And I'll look at that and think, okay, that's, you know, that's a cool lady sitting on a couch. You know, of course, there's all this other stuff going on in it, but it's like, you know, if I just take her and the couch and, you know, maybe add something or put her in a different pose because I like the colors of the couch and the wallpaper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just kind of slowly comes together to the point where I just start doing little thumbnails. So I'll do quick sketches, quick little digital color studies, and then just kind of narrow that down. And then, you know, once I'm happy with an idea, I'll just project that onto the canvas or print it out on a board or something, and just go to paint.
Awesome. And his last question is, if you had all of the freedom in the world to do any type of project, what would it be?
Oh. Oh, that's a hard one. I don't know. I mean, it's like comics or
I
like
think just anything in general,
anything,
whatever you
anything
want to do.
In general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just like just some kind of giant art book, but that actually, you know, had a purpose, like, you know, portraits of, you know, actors, or I don't know, just something that I wouldn't like normally like have published, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a hard one. Or may add, you know, like everybody's been asking, the full coffee table book of all the Marvel 60s stuff.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I'd be more than happy to, you know, spend a couple of months doing that. So.
Oh, yeah. And I would not have a problem buying a few copies of that also. So, yeah. Next questions are from Alan Rebo, and he is a listener. And he says, first he says, "Hi, Phil. I first saw your work through various DC titles, but did not see your interior work until I read The Infinite Horizon, which I found to be wonderful. The influence of Robert McGinnis in your work is nothing short of amazing. Theory aside, here are my questions. When it comes to planning out your pages, how often do you revise before you move on and actually draw them?" I think we kind of covered this, but if you want to...
Yeah, I don't do... I usually just kind of do the revisions while, because, you know, drawing in Photoshop, it's just another layer. And, you know, that's the great part about working digitally. It's like if... you know, a lot of times once I actually start getting the figures down on the page, I realize, like, well, these would work better in a bigger panel. So I just kind of move up the panel, transform it, make it a little bigger on the page and, you know, whatnot. And, yeah, I don't usually do too many, like, I won't do a full set of pages and then go through and then really start making a ton of changes. I usually just kind of... just throw on a new layer while I'm drawing the page, and that's where the revisions come from. Now, I mean, there's a few, very rarely there'll be like editor notes or something where it's like, oh, well, you know, could we have, you know, her a little bigger or, you know, whatnot, and then I'll go through and make changes, you know, after like the pencils or inks. But yeah, usually it's just kind of quick. All the revisions come while I'm thumbnailing it.
And you mentioned Photoshop, and you mentioned earlier that you use Manga Studio. Like, do you prefer working with one program over the other, or are there any particular advantages with each one?
Yeah. Oh yeah, Photoshop. I just find like just the interface, and I mean that's just the one I've been using longer. So, I mean, I'm much more comfortable just doing all my drawing, and I mean that's what I use for all the blog stuff, mm-hmm. and. Pretty much everything, you know, all my coloring, everything but the inking, where Manga Studio is just, the best when it comes to that, just in terms of the different tools. And, just there's so many cool little tricks that I can do in Manga Studio that I really just can't do in Photoshop that makes it invaluable for that, you know, comic style look.
Okay, that's cool. I was just curious about that because I see a lot of people talking about which programs to use with their Cintiq, and a lot of people seem to favor Manga Studio for some reasons, and I've never heard people actually using both. So that's good to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I mean, especially with coloring all my stuff, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, I'm gonna have to use Photoshop. So I use both just by default.
Okay. And his last question is, when you started out doing comics, were there any particular creators that helped or influenced you in your storytelling? I think we might have covered this, but I think J. Scott Campbell, right?
Yeah, J. Scott Campbell, Sienkiewicz, Mike Mignola, the few interior stuff I've gotten from Adam Hughes. I had such a tiny collection when I started working on comics that, you know, I would just kind of soak up stuff from, you know, four or five guys and just try to apply that, you know, better or for worse.
Okay. And he also wishes you continued success. And I think that's it for our questions. For my final question, we'll do something a little bit more fun. In a fight, which would be a better move to use, the fastball special or the master blaster?
It depends who I was fighting. If I was fighting like a real like hardcore villain, like, I don't know, Apocalypse or he's the guy that broke Superman's back.
Oh, you mean broke Batman's back, Bane. Or the killed Superman was Doomsday.
A Doomsday, yeah. Something like that, I think, yeah, you definitely have to go Fastball Special. But yeah, if you were fighting, like, MODOK or someone of his ilk, I think Master Blaster would be fine.
I don't think I've ever seen you do a MODOK before. I think that would be something for...
I think I've drawn one. I remember I did a commission of MODOK for somebody years ago. But, yeah, there's a lot of... there's a lot of MODOK fans out there. I might have to do a MODOK piece soon.
I mean, you can do one of those 60s pieces where he's just hanging out with, in an AIM lab or something. Well, I think that would be funny. So, again, Phil, thank you very much for coming on to the show. Where can people find you online?
My blog is philnoto.tumblr.com. My website with more of my older stuff and a lot more of my painting stuff is notoart.com. And I'm on Twitter and I am on Facebook, although I have a Facebook account. I very rarely am actually on my Facebook page. So, yes, if you have friend requested me in the last month or so, I will take care of that. But yes, I sadly don't have too much time to spend on Facebook. But yeah, I'm always, you know, kind of dropping my little nuggets of wisdom and wit on Twitter every once in a while. But that's where you can find me.
I honestly think people won't mind if you're not messing around with Facebook because they'd rather see you update your blog and post more sketches over anything else.
Oh yeah.
Honestly, I love your stuff. I was very happy to finally get a piece from you earlier this year. So that Emma Frost that you had done for me is hanging on my wall right now. So again, thank you for coming on to the show and best of luck with the gallery show you have later on this year and keep up the awesome work. I love it. Seriously, you are one of the best right now. It's just amazing to look at your work, and it really does inspire me. And every time I see something new from you, I'm like, man, I wish I could figure out how to do it that easily because you make it look really easy.
Well, thanks. It's years and years and years of practice with years more to come. So thanks.
Excellent. Well, again, thank you very much, and I'll talk to you soon, and I'll see you on Twitter.
Okay, man.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the views of Pat Loika. You can reach Pat by sending an email to loikamania@gmail.com. This has been a Dial R Studios production.